salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatness of the salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are not a believer this evening, my hope is that you may leave this building tonight with a sense of what it means to meet with the Savior. Your past life notwithstanding, that you can take a cue from this Samaritan woman and call on the Lord for your salvation, because the glorious hope of the believer is sure, it's real, just as real as the condemnation of any who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And for this reason, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, exhorts his readers. He says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" This great salvation is offered freely to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. And I want to look at this passage, the story of the Samaritan woman, and try and draw some applications for us. There are quite a number of applications we can draw, but I want to concentrate on only three applications for us this evening. The first application which I want to draw is the greatness of our salvation. The experience of this Samaritan woman challenges us to pause for some time and reflect on the greatness of the salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Her reaction is a reaction to an encounter which was without doubt the greatest encounter she would ever have had. It is a reaction to the greatest gift which she would ever have known. In our trials as Christians, are we able to draw from the greatness of our salvation for comfort? Are we able to draw from the greatness of our salvation for encouragement? And if you are not a believer, or if you are an unbeliever, this story gives you the assurance that there is no one who is beyond salvation. It is regardless of your past. It is good news for you as well, because you cannot continue ignoring this forever. And whilst you are still here, there is chance to call on the Lord. Secondly, the application which I want to draw is the importance of our testimony. This encounter with the Lord by the woman, we realize that the woman did not keep this encounter to herself. She ran back to the village where she came from and proclaimed this encounter to the hearing of all. She did not keep it to herself. She rushed back to the village to proclaim the encounter to all. And this is amazing considering the person that she was. A woman, as you would realize, who was an outcast in that society, someone who would have been ridiculed by virtue of her sordid life, but one who would rush back to that village to proclaim to the hearers of those who ridiculed her. And this is something of great encouragement for us and great challenge for us who know this experience. And the third testimony, application which I am going to draw for us this evening, is the power of our testimony. The woman's testimony, as we realize, leads to conversions. She gave her testimony, and people were converted. And again, this is most remarkable when you consider the person that she was. What great encouragement for us as we go out to share the good news of the gospel to others, but with little hope and with little confidence in ourselves of making any impact whatsoever. So three main headings which I have this evening. First of all, the greatness of our salvation. The secondly, the importance of our testimony. And thirdly, the power of our testimony. So the greatness of our salvation. One preacher once stated that Christians are so much focused or so preoccupied on seeking God's interventions on the difficulties that confront them that they completely forget how far God has brought them already. And maybe from time to time it is important that we pause for a moment and refocus, pause for a moment and reflect on how far God has brought us, and reflect on his grace and mercy towards us, and reflect on the greatness of the salvation that we have. We are told in the story that our Lord, on his way to Judea, to Galilee from Judea, stopped by the Samaritan city because he needed to go through Samaria. Verse 4. Now, we don't know why he needed to go through Samaria. It doesn't tell us. But we know for sure that if the Lord hadn't chosen this route, this particular incident would not have been recorded for us. We are told that he was tired. The word weary is used. He was tired. And he sat down by this well for much needed rest and probably a drink of water. We are told also that it was the sixth hour, verse 6. And the sixth hour, one would put it at midday. So it would have been hot in a desert environment like that. And he sat by this well for much needed rest. We are also told that his disciples had gone to the city or the village to find some food. So it is possible that he might have been hungry as well. This was a God, a Savior who knew what it meant to be tired, who knew what it meant to be hungry, who knew what it meant to be thirsty. He was God, and yet he came down to our world to give his life, to go through what we would experience and even more, to reconcile us to himself. The greatness of our salvation. The greatness of our salvation. Now we have to say, as we read this story, that this is an extraordinary story involving an extraordinary woman. This is a woman who had everything going against her. You would not expect the Lord of glory to have any audience or any contact with this woman whatsoever, not to talk of starting a conversation with her. You would not expect the self-righteous Pharisees to do so, because they wouldn't. The religious leaders would have avoided her like the plague. Firstly, she was a Samaritan. A race of people utterly despised by the Jewish people who saw themselves as superior to these people, the Samaritans. This woman herself do not expect to have any Jew whatsoever speak to her the way the Lord did, not to talk about the Lord himself. The other thing one notices, that apart from the fact that this woman was a Samaritan, she was a despised Samaritan. This was a woman whom we've been told had multiple marriages. 5 marriages, to be precise. And the 6th person she was with was not her husband. We have that recorded for us in verse 17. To 18. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. So this was a woman with history. a history which most people in that area would use to completely cast out from their midst. The time of the day this incident took place is also probably significant, because it is an incident which took place in the middle of the day, in the hot desert afternoon. Now, in a society like this, most people would go to fetch water in the coolness of the morning or in the coolness of the evening. And this has led most commentators to conclude that this woman would have chosen this time of the day to avoid stares or gossip from people who would have possibly been disapproving of her sordid life. But we realize also that she's a woman who is an ignorant woman with no understanding of true religion, which has led our Lord to say in verse 22 here, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now, it's amazing that this incident is recorded for us after the incident with Nicodemus in chapter 3. Because if you look at the story of Nicodemus and our Lord's interaction with Nicodemus, you realize that the two are completely different. Nicodemus is a completely different person from this Samaritan woman. First, Nicodemus is described for us in chapter 3 as a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee, someone who was well respected, someone who knew the law, someone in that society could be held up as upright, as righteous, someone who was learned, someone who was devout. The Samaritan woman is not Nicodemus. To the ordinary person on the street, this woman is the worst sinner, a really hopeless case. The two could not be more different, and yet both of them needed salvation in the same measure. And this salvation is a gift freely offered by grace to those who would call on the Lord for repentance of sin. Those who recognize their desperate need for a spiritual life, they do not and cannot have without God's own intervention. And as the Lord opens up her life before her, the Samaritan woman is convinced she has met with the promised Messiah. And so overwhelmed and excited is she, even after her life, her many sins have been pointed out to her, that she takes off for the village, leaving her water pot behind. She couldn't wait to tell her village about the amazing man she identified as the Christ, as the Messiah. And this is how C.H. Spurgeon explains it. She believed that Jesus was the Christ, but she knew that men do not like to be taught by such as her, and so she humbly threw it out of their examination for their examination. Can this be the anointed one whom we are expecting? Come and judge. If you look at verse 25 to 29, you realize that she went to the men. She went to the men. Now, the testimony of women at that time wasn't actually considered effective, particularly by men. Their court testimony was not, in fact, admissible in court. And yet this woman went to the men. That is amazing. And the message of the woman from Samaria tells us of the nature of God's mercy. That mercy is possible to anyone, including the greatest of sinners. It is mercy with no regard for morality. It is mercy with no regard for race. It is mercy with no regard for social status. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Samaritan woman, went to the cross for the Samaritan woman. As he went to the cross and gave up his life for you, if you are a believer in him today, he went to the cross for you, reconciling you to himself, reconciling you to the great God Almighty, who is holy and detests sin. The Lord hung on the cross for you. The greatness of our salvation, the greatness of his grace and mercy towards us. No wonder this Samaritan woman rushed to tell of her story to her fellow villagers. This was a woman who probably did not know much about scripture, but she had an experience. She'd seen something life-transforming. Something most amazing had happened to her. And she rushed to tell of this amazing story to her fellow villagers. And that brings me to my next second heading, and that is a more briefer one, the importance of our testimony. If you're a believer this evening, you have a great and wonderful testimony. Like this woman, a testimony to tell of your Savior and what he's done for you. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are in the Christian faith, you have a wonderful testimony. It doesn't matter if you can remember the very day you became saved. You may not even remember when exactly you found the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not probably have experienced the type of road to Damascus type experience with the Apostle Paul experience went through, but you do have a testimony because you have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the testimony of a Samaritan woman with questionable reputation. One who would have been an outcast by virtue of her immoral life. The testimony of one who would have been shunned by her own people. You would wonder how the testimony of such a person would make an impact. And yet verse 39 of this chapter tells us that and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Without doubt, the challenge of her testimony being believable would have been enormous. But this woman has courage to do this because she realizes the enormity of what has happened to her. She's experienced the greatest events in her life. Someone shunned by her own people is forgiven by the infinitely holy Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are amazed that the Lord would deal with someone like that, then we must be amazed that the Lord will deal with us. Because really, we are not different from this Samaritan woman. The word of God tells us that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. It tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Not different from the Samaritan woman. We all deserve God's condemnation, God's righteous judgment. And so we are not different from this woman. And this is what C.H. Spurgeon writes. He says, "He who is the glory of heaven, light of light, very God of very God, she shrouded in the likeness of sinful flesh, and being found in fashion as a man, she seek after us unworthy ones. How amazing. We must be amazed that God should have anything to do with us, if we are amazed that he would have anything to do with this Samaritan woman. And surely, if we have found something good, we want to share this with others. If we have found the Lord and experienced the forgiveness of sin that comes to him, we cannot be unaffected by the multitudes who are perishing in sin, who are living without the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot remain unmoved by their eternal futures. Instead, we are moved, or should be moved, to go out there and tell of the greatest miracle that we have had, salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, when we deserved his righteous judgment and condemnation. And we would want to tell our colleagues. We would want to tell our relatives. We would want to proclaim this to wherever God places us and wherever we have the opportunity to do so. But there are also reasons why our verbal testimony is part and parcel of our Christian life. Firstly, because our Lord encourages it. You remember in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, after healing the demon-possessed man, our Lord, in verse 19, tells him, he instructs him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. What a message we can send out to the world of the compassion God has had on us, bringing us into repentance of sin and to salvation in him. In Acts chapter 1, verse 18, just before his ascension into heaven, our Lord gives this command to his disciples, says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I would say that one of the most effective ways of fulfilling this command in our Christian walk and service is our personal testimony of what the Lord has done for us. We cannot all stand on pulpits. We cannot all be evangelists. We cannot all be missionaries. But every single one of us has a testimony. A testimony to tell of his greatness, the greatness of our salvation, of his love, of his mercy, of his grace. And that brings me to my final section, the power of testimony. The power of testimony. And the power of testimony can be summed up in this verse, chapter 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. He told me all that I ever did. Her personal testimony leads to conversions. And this is most remarkable, as we said earlier, because this is someone whose faith is in the development stage. And so you may think that your faith is in the development stage, you are a new Christian, you cannot make an impact. Can we take a cue from this woman? Secondly, she was a woman. Someone who would have faced some cultural barriers in that society. We also know that she had a reputation. Someone who, as we have noted already, had five husbands, was spending time with a woman who was not her husband. You would wonder why a woman like this would have an effective witness. And so we may begin to think of possible reasons why she would have been successful in this particular case. And we could say that perhaps her level of excitement in talking about the Lord must have convinced people that her experience was genuine. And it is possible. How many times have we been told when we are going out with for evangelism that show, you know, smile, some people would tell us. Just smile and they will know that, yes, you believe what you are talking about. And of course, it is possible that her change or the change in her and the excitement must have been convincing to people. But no matter what reasons you assign to her success, it is important to recognize that we serve a great God, the great God Almighty, the God who created the heavens and the earth and controls all. And the fact that God used her is not a credit to this woman, but a credit to the greatness of God. And it's a reminder to us that God can use anyone. In Numbers chapter 22, we are told that God used a donkey to communicate with Balaam. And it is the same God who has promised his presence as we share to others the good news of the gospel. It has to be great encouragement for us as we go out sharing the good news of the gospel, but with little confidence in our ability to make an impact. Most of us would go out there with very little confidence. We do not have the speech to be able to convince anyone. What an encouragement for us. We are new Christians, not well versed in the Bible. What do we do if we are challenged? I wonder how much scripture this woman knew. We serve the great God Almighty. And the power of our testimony is not from ourselves. The power of our testimony is from the great God Almighty, who has saved us, who has promised us his presence, who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. May the Lord help us to learn from this and to be better able to faithfully proclaim his glorious message as he gives us opportunity. And may he fill our hearts with a deeper sense of the greatness of our salvation, that our response may be one of deeper longing to grow more and more in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we rise and sing our final hymn, number 829?